one.
Good evening, everyone.
Thank you. Welcome for. Thanks for coming.
Thank you all for being here so much. We very much appreciate all of your support, and we very much hope that you will appreciate and like the youth-led community Vespers of 2012. And here, I am Oliver.
And I'm Alex. We are the worship coordinators for the youth this year.
And here are the announcements.
I'm not going to sing tonight. It's okay. It's okay. We have quite a few announcements, including a really important thing that I'm going to do at the end with our scholarship coordinator. And this is Youth Vespers, and they're going to do some awesome things. And you don't need me to sing, because it's going to be great. Okay, Thursday. You guys okay? Okay. Okay, Thursday, that would be tomorrow, dinner in the alcove on the Hogwarts side. Everyone knows the Hogwarts side, right? In the alcove with Evan Carvel-Zemer, youth programming the other 51 weeks. What's happening? What do you want to have happen? What do you need to make something happen? Youth and adults are welcome. That's tomorrow evening at dinner with Evan in the alcove. 213 Old Kenyon, someone who's staying in that room doesn't have their key, but Stephanie Romero does. Sam Hedden, I have your key, and we think you may have someone else's key. Yes. Cliff, our fantastic techie from the planning committee, will be in the Pierce. He'll be in the Pierce dining hall during lunch and dinner on Thursday and Friday. So that's the Hogwarts side as well, to get photos for our slideshow. Please select your 10 or so best photos, not all 347, 10 or so, and consider bringing those lunch or dinner, Hogwarts side, Thursday and Friday, and we'll work to get things into the slideshow. Many of you know the Red Cross was here today for the first day of a blood drive. There was some confusion. Thank you, I'll get it. There was some confusion about whether we were having a blood drive because many of us got letters saying it was canceled. It was not canceled because they were here today. So a note from them, they have launched a national blood appeal today. And they're calling for blood and platelet donors of all blood types. They will be here again tomorrow with a blood mobile in front of Pierce. So they'll be up here, meaning you don't have to go down. So if you have an appointment tomorrow, you're going to be at the blood mobile. And if you make an appointment or want to go in and sign up, you'll be there. A couple of things for the remaining week pertaining to our theme talks, and specifically theme talk back. There will not be a theme talk back on Friday afternoon because Reverend Meg is going to wrap with us with the theme talk on Friday morning. There will be a theme talk back tomorrow, but it's going to be in a different place. It's going to be in the computer lab in Sam Mather, which is the building of the Science Quad next here It's the one closest to where I'm pointing. It's right on the other side of this wall. So there's a computer lab on the first floor in Sam Mather, and Theme Talkback will be there tomorrow. We're going to use computers for that. If you are in small ensembles, be sure to review your listing, thank you, with Bob and Christy in the pub tonight. I'm sorry, you'll have to go to the pub to review that. Have you talked to any first-timers yet this week? I like hearing lots of yeses, but if you have and if you haven't, you should. So find a first-timer, find a new first-timer who you haven't talked to yet, and talk to them. See how their week is going. Anyone interested in learning about GA in Louisville next year? GA 2013 is going to be in Louisville. This is a continuation of the conversation bringing GA back to SI, and beginning conversations about the fact that OMD is hosting GA in 2016. We are going to plan to have a group gather during dinner tomorrow, we think in the pub. I will announce tomorrow morning if the location is different, but that's our plan. So dinner tomorrow evening in the pub if you would like to hear about GA next year and the beginning stages of planning for 2016 in Columbus. And John Marshall, come on over.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've just got to tell you a first-timer story. I asked this first-timer, when did you really feel at home here at SI? And he thought for a while, and I thought, oh, dear, you know, like. And he said, 5 minutes into registration. Yes! Then his wife walked up, and I asked her, when did you feel welcome in as a first-timer? And she said, after the first hymn. So we do things pretty good, yeah. All right, at the beginning, I want to clarify that camperships are not like scholarships. Camperships are awarded by the planning committee in lieu of work done here at SI. It's a barter system. Scholarships, on the other hand, are my responsibility, and they are earned. They are competitive, and they are based on essentially UU involvement, interest in attending SI, and financial need. Both partial and full scholarships are available. Okay, how do you get a scholarship? First of all, the scholarship process always begins at the end of March, usually at the OMD annual meeting. Step number one, request an application and all other information regarding applications from me via my email address or phone number, which is scattered all over the bulletin, this year or last year. You don't have to write it down, just get the bulletin out. Step two, all documents are forwarded to you, and read them very carefully, including the cover letter of all this information. Next, you fill out the application form. This is not a lengthy process of filling out the application form. Then you take the application form along with a minister support letter over to your minister and have a conversation about finances. The minister then fills out the minister support letter, puts it together with the application, and mails it via U.S. mail to me. That all could be done electronically, but I have a long list of reasons why it's done that way that if you're really interested, I'll let you know. By the way, the absolute deadline is May 31st. No exceptions. Okay, here's an interesting thing. Only adults do scholarship paperwork. Scholarships are available for people all ages, 18 and under, but any communication regarding scholarships has got to be done by an adult. Now, you may wonder why there's such a thing as a minister support letter. It is a difficult job, believe me, on one application to understand person's involvement with UU, why they want to come to Summer Institute, and their financial situation. I need the help of the ministers. They add another little piece to help make that that evaluation. A couple little hints. Give me words to use to evaluate. Two-word answer to a question is hard to give credit and points to. This is the time to let it go. And also, I don't know how to say this tactfully, but type it or write it so I can read it, if you get the drift of my meaning. Read the directions, and by all means, if there's any question, even some minuscule question that you have, call me. I'm available. I return emails and phone calls quickly. A word about confidentiality. The names of people who receive scholarships is absolutely confidential. There are three people who know: me, a member of the registration on the registration team, and a member of the planning committee. There's only three people. That's an absolute. But the following is not confidential. This year we received about 18 or 19 applications, and 35 persons here have received scholarships. The article in the newsletter tomorrow will say 25, but fix that for me, will you? The average amount per person was $220, and the average award per application, which might include a family and all that sort of thing, was about $450. And about 6% of us here at SI have received scholarship this year. Now, in order to make all this possible, we need your support. And perhaps in the past you have received a scholarship. Maybe now is the time to turn around and give a little back to the scholarship fund. We accept contributions almost anyway. This afternoon, a woman came up to me, and she pulled this whole pile of money out of the little purse. Kids had been doing projects. And so in the back pocket here, this is kind of strange. I have all this money, you know, and it's beautifully folded $1 bills, and there's a little love between each one of those $100 bills. And it's quite a job, let me tell you. But we'll accept money any way it comes. You can contribute on the website, a check to OMD, or give a check, as some have already done, to a scholarship committee member, person, or myself. Next year, Donna Schmidtken from the planning committee will be the liaison to the scholarship committee, and Sharon Sikora and myself. Now, you may be wondering what you can do as a church. There is a church here, Pittsburgh South Hills, who dedicated a whole month of promotion and put all this money one Sunday into a big pot for Summer Institute scholarship. Thank you, Pittsburgh South Hills. Now, with the application, you have to make a little statement, you know, like, why do you want to come to Summer Institute, you know? And well, what is your financial need? Now, what I'm about to read to you, I cleared with the woman who wrote it, and I was going to ask her, and she wanted to come up here and read a little bit, but I can't really do that because, really, people who receive scholarships are totally, totally anonymous. But I will read this to the best of my ability, and I'll end with it. What follows is my application letter for a scholarship for Summer Institute 2012. I attended SI in the past. I had become a member of the Unitarian Universalist Church a little over a year ago, during the dark period of my life, when my life had lost meaning and spiritual direction. The many positive experiences I encountered at my church, and in particular the wonderful relationships I made with other members of the congregation, led me to wonder if I might have a future within the UU faith. This curiously led me to attend Summer Institute that year. The week I spent at Kenyon College was one of the most positive and transformational of my life. The services, the workshop I took, and the many interactions I had with UUs from other congregations other than my own uplifted and energized me. Just as important, I spent hours sitting along the middle path, contemplating and soul-searching my spiritual development and whether I truly felt called to the UU faith. By the end of the week, I returned with the conviction that Unitarianism was the direction for my life. I also have great appreciation for how much I have yet to learn. Currently, I'm weighing the options for further work within the faith, whether it is community work, lay leadership, or possibly becoming an ordained minister. I know that the SI week would serve as a great retreat for me outside of my usual church week, and yet I still get surrounded by this wonderful, loving atmosphere. It would provide me with time to reflect on my own spiritual development. I also look forward to the beneficial cross-pollination that occurs from meeting and talking with UUs outside of my own congregation. I definitely have financial challenges in attending SI this year. I was unemployed while I was at SI 2010, and at least I had unemployment compensation. At that time, an injury in my knee progressed to the point that I'm no longer able to work long hours standing. I've sought other areas of work without luck. My unemployment. My unemployment ran out. I can't read more. This is the kind of letters that accompany applications.
Thank you, John. I'm not going to talk long because I want to give the stage over to these kids, but I will say I started coming to Summer Institute 26 years ago as a youth, and being a youth at Summer Institute and being a Unitarian youth, but the Summer Institute community in particular is all of who I am as an adult. Next year, I will chair the planning committee, and everything that I've done. Thank you. Everything that I have done since the time I was a youth on a stage at Summer Institute with my youth group, which was very tiny 26 years ago at SI, and everything I've done in between has been affected and somehow determined the path by a lot of what happened at Summer Institute, and that's what I will say we can support as much as possible to provide to as many people as possible. Thank you. You guys ready? Say yeah, get off the stage, lady.
Hello again. I would like to thank you, each of you, so much for being here. So, here we are at Summer Institute 2012. Our theme this year is rebooting your theology. Now, the first time I heard that, I thought it was pretty strange, actually. I didn't quite understand what it meant. And Honestly, my first thought was, why is there a robot on my name tag? But then I put a little bit of thought into it. I discussed it with some of the people on stage here. And I think we might have been able to derive a little bit of meaning out of it. You may not all be too tech-savvy, but when a computer has been running for a long time, it can overheat, it can stop working, it can get all clogged up, and it generally just doesn't do what it's intended to do originally. And so when that happens, you turn it off, let everything cool down, and start over again. I think the same thing happens with us. A lot of times we just start something in our lives, and then we never really take a minute to think about it again. And in this case, at one point in time, each of us has affirmed, if not acknowledged, at least, if not affirmed, the seven principles which hold us together. Am I correct? They are the one thing that each of us says that we share. But I'm not sure that we really think about them that often. I know that I don't. But they are the one thing that holds us together. It seems that they would be fairly important. And so tonight, we are here to challenge you to think about them, really think about them. What do they mean to you? And they're very large, grand ideas that applied on a universal level. And if you were to be read one, anybody would say, oh yes, of course, I believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. But so what does that mean every day? What have you done today that affirms your belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person? And so that's what our service will be about. The first principle we are going to start with, actually, if you could, we covenant to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So that seems like a really big idea. But what does it really mean to each of us? I would like to invite Shane for a reading.
This we know, the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know, all things are connected, like the blood which unites our family. All things are created. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons and daughters of the earth. We do not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves.
Thank you so much, Shane. Now I believe Kelsey has a little skit prepared for us.
One day, a beautiful young woman was walking through a field, and a busy little bee came and landed on her shoulder. With an angry swat, she slapped the bee, and the poor little bee died. Stop, Rewind. One day, a beautiful young woman was walking through a field, and a busy little bee came and landed on her shoulder.
Oh my God, what a large bee.
Gently, she shooed the bee away.
Go away, bee.
Later that day, the bee landed on a little apple blossom and pollinated it. Time went by, and the little apple blossom grew into a wonderful little apple. A little pig came along and ate the little apple up. Time went by, and little pig was very humanely turned into a wonderful ham sandwich. And the young woman ate the ham sandwich and very much appreciated where it had come from and how it had come to her.
All living substance, all substance of energy, being, and purpose are united and share the same destiny. All people, those we love and those we not know of, are united and share the same destiny.
Each being on this earth is like a string in a massive harp, and the universe is an orchestra in which this harp plays.
So next time a bee lands on you, or you eat a ham sandwich, think about your place in the interdependent web of which you are a part.
Each of your actions is a string in the web of causes and effects.
If you are mindful of this, a simple kindness, like giving a bee the gift of life, can make more of a difference than you would ever expect.
So respect the interdependent web, and try to always remember that the consequences of your actions are not confined to yourself.
Thank you so much. That was pretty hilarious. Could you go to the next slide, please? So I would like to share with you a song that I learned last week from some beautiful people very much like yourselves. I'm not quite sure what it's called, but it's pretty simple. These are the words. It goes like this. Love, 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 love. Each of us is made of love. So love each other as yourselves, for we are one. Could everybody sing it with me, please? Love, 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 love. Each of us is made of love. So love each other as yourselves. Thing about this song is that it's actually a four-part round. So, do you guys think that we can do this as a four-part round? I think we can do it. So I will have the left side over here. I will start first. I will sing, love, 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 with all these beautiful people. And then Kelsey will sing with the middle group once that line is over. And then Rain will sing with the group on the right. And then Alex will sing with the balcony. So, can we do it?
Yes, we can.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. All right, what's next? So, we talked about the interdependent web of creation. Now, that's not something that I generally think about. I don't normally think about bees turning into ham sandwiches. That's not in my wildest imagination, but I guess it is in Kelsey's. Can we have the next slide, please? So, the next one that we would like to try and understand a little bit better is a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. So, I guess I forgot to say this at first, but the reason that we're talking about this is because in our theme speaker class, we've been talking about what makes Unitarian Universalism different than most other religions? And one of the main things was an idea called continual revelation, I believe it's called. Has anybody heard of that word, that phrase? What it means is that rather than just drawing our knowledge from one stagnant source of information, we as a people constantly absorb new information and accept it as the truth. So that's why we're trying to encourage you to constantly think again about these things that we've held for so long that we don't even think about anymore. So just keep thinking. And so I have not thought in a while about a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? And are we really doing all that we can to ensure that every single person in here has the right to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning? Well, I would like to ask Alex to help answer that question.
All right, so a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. One very unfortunate thing that I've noticed, other than this mic slipping down, is that many of my friends, and not only youth, but children and even adults as well, seem to have a trend to think that this means that, oh yeah, you can kind of just like, you know, do whatever you want. And that's what I think a lot of people get the idea about UUism in a way. And that's really not what we're about. And sometimes I have trouble, you know, finding like what it is exactly that we believe in. But I think that a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, what that means to me at least, is that we should be free to find who we are and use ourselves in a constructive way in this world. And I'd like to put together one short little quote that kind of sums up, I guess, what I'm trying to get at, is that a free decision is to act out of your own interest, but a free and responsible decision is to act out of the interest of others as well as yourself. Thank you. I'd like to turn this over to Oliver. Again.
Don't fall, little Mike. Rowan, would you like to help me answer this question?
I'd love to.
Hi, thank you. So today, Alex, Rowan, and I, and possibly others up here, I can't quite remember, we were at the Icebox, the young adult dorm, and they were having a meeting about youth empowerment. And I just thought that this fit so perfectly with the theme of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning that I couldn't help but to bring it up. We were talking about a few different things that the young adults have experienced and we've experienced and just what has changed over the years. And I'm not going to say much about the issue because it's an ongoing discussion, but I would just like to encourage each of you to consider the ongoing debate between protecting children from potential danger and allowing them to make their own mistakes and allowing them to discover for themselves what is right and what is true and what is not true and what is wrong. So I would just like you to think about that. That's all. Rowan?
All right. Well, along the lines of that note, I prepared a little journey for us. So talking about the free and responsible search for truth and meaning in our lives, it's kind of hard. It's really, really difficult and complicated, and there are a lot of forks in the road that you have to kind of navigate your way around. I mean, in UUism, there is no right path that they dictate to you. So you have to kind of learn how to make decisions for yourself. So I'm going to teach you about Tommy, who is our hypothetical little child that we've decided to give you a day in the life of in. I think that's the correct grammar. So Tommy is a little boy, and this morning he has the decision of what shirt to wear. So you ask him, you know, what shirt do you want to wear, Tommy? And you give him like a red shirt and a blue shirt and I don't know, whatever color shirts he has. And maybe he says, I want the red shirt or I want the blue shirt, you know? And he does it all cute like, so you give that little laugh to him. And then he goes out and he wears whatever shirt he wants. And no one really cares. I mean, just as long as he's wearing a shirt, you know? So, and then, you know, after you get Tommy dressed, however hard that may be at that age, I don't know yet. Although I do have a sister, so I get a good idea of that. Then you got to take him down to breakfast. And breakfast is a little different because the decision we make there has some implications involved with it, and it requires some prior knowledge. So you kind of got to, I mean, assuming Tommy will listen, you got to teach him about nutrition before you let him decide what kind of breakfast to have. So, you know, you teach him about carbohydrates and other stuff, or basically just, you know, don't eat too much sugar and eat your vegetables. I guess that's the 5-year-old version, right? So you tell him to eat, you know, vegetables are good, candy is not so great. And then you can let him decide. And then Tommy can either, you know, have his vegetables and he and his meat and his spinach, and he'll go on and have a good day, and he'll, you know, be very energized and stuff. Or maybe he'll choose to have the sugar. And in a case, this can be just as good a learning experience, because when he eats that sugar, you know, he gets the sugar high and he's running around, and that isn't very great. But when he has that sugar crash, he kind of learns for himself that, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, balance out my sugar with some protein or something. So, you know, assuming you get through breakfast okay and you don't have to end up mopping up cereal off the floor, you move to school. And here at school, Tommy's facing a decision on his own. So let's say this day, Tommy is learning about clouds. I don't know why clouds. It struck us as a good topic. So Tommy's got all these clouds he's got to learn about. And see, Tommy can either listen and learn about the clouds, the nimbus and cumulonimbus and this nimbus and that nimbus. I myself am not educated on the subject very much. I didn't pay attention that day of class. That was my decision. So Tommy can make the decision to either pay attention in class or not to. And Tommy, say he doesn't, right? Well, then Tommy learns, you know, Tommy's out playing and he sees some clouds in the sky. And he can remember that, you know, they're talking about big clouds and small clouds and wispy clouds and other kinds of clouds, but I sure don't know what that cloud is. Now see, if he'd listened, he would have known that it was a big cumulonimbus cloud. And that's the kind that give thunderstorms, I think. Am I right? Okay, thank you. I've got some audience support here helping me through this. So he doesn't know this, so he gets rained on, which is unfortunate. But that's a perfect example of a decision that had an implication. And the one thing that all these have in common, oh, wait, no, I changed that. There's two things that these decisions have in common is that they all, for one, they're all his decision, and that really sticks with you when you make your decision and you live out the consequences of your decision. And I know for me that sticks a lot better with me than being told to do something. I mean, why helps, but doing it myself really, you know, makes it stick there. And two, these all can be related to an older version of Tommy. So, you know, remember the blue shirt and the wedge shirt? Well, when Tommy is a grown-up boy and he's going through the trials and tribulations of puberty and stuff, he may decide he wants to get a tattoo. And the idea here is that, okay, so let's assume that he can easily cover it with his skin, so it's not too much of a... It doesn't offer too many implications, you know, future results. So it really is just a preference for himself. Like, you know, do I want a tattoo of a chalice or do I want some other symbol that means something to me? And I think that if you give him the shirt, you know, the shirt choice, he'll be able to better know himself when he's deciding, you know, things about himself. And then the food, you tell him about, you know, what's out there and how to make, you know, things about his decision. And you could equate this to alcohol use or tobacco use, and you know, because you tell them that it's bad, what happens, the side effects, and then they can choose whether to do it or not. I mean, hopefully they don't choose to smoke or any of that. Yeah, I think, you know, that's what I'm supposed to say, right? Don't drink, don't smoke, kids down there. Don't do that. Bad, you know, causes cancer. You don't want that. And then school. I mean, this is kind of a cop-out, but in college, you know, it's the same thing. He can either decide to take a very, you know, a rigorous course and really try hard, or he can, you know, decide to party all night, and, I mean, you know, that doesn't get him as far. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you let them start to make their decisions early in life, they'll be better prepared for the big ones that actually matter. And I... with that in mind, want to speak to how the UU Youth Program does that for me. In the past, I was at a really rich, kind of conservative public school. And there, the academics were insane. I was getting like 40 problems a night of math homework, and it wasn't sustainable. And that's why we left. But while I was there, I was introduced to this very, very closed-minded atmosphere. And I like to make the joke, and it kind of stands, you know, it makes a point here, that the only thing people did to their hair was cut it. You know, there was no dyeing going on. There was nothing. I mean, if you wanted a slightly darker shade, I mean, that wasn't too noticeable, so that was okay. You know, you can do that. And from that atmosphere, I started taking a few things from there. Now, I didn't adapt their culture, you know, like adopt their culture, but I did take a few things from that, you know, like carrying myself in a certain way and that kind of thing. And then I moved to the current school I'm at, and that kind of swayed me in its own ways, and I'm adopting things from the school I go to now. But every year, I come back to SI, and there are a few things that, you know, every year, there's something that's changed about me. And every year I come back, and it seems like, you know, I've got some new perspective on things. Unfortunately, sometimes it's kind of hard for me to meld back into the extreme diversity that we have here. You know, people with all kinds of stuff going on, different beliefs and different ways of expressing themselves. And it can be hard for me to accept some of them because I don't consider them for myself great ideas. But I got to say, by the end of the week, every year, I've been, you know, I really improve in my acceptance of people's ideas. So SI for me is this kind of like grounding experience every year. And that, I think, is constant revelation or continuing revelation for me at SI. And I find that through the youth program and through the experiences that I find here. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rowan. That was amazing. I would now like to invite Rain to play a song along the same lines of Tommy's little story.
But I thought this wouldn't hurt a lot, I guess not.
family of trees wanted to be haunted.
Thank you, thank you, you beautiful rain. could we have the next slide, please? So the last principle that we are going to talk about today, going to like to ask you to consider a little bit more than you normally may, is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Now, of course, if I asked you, do you believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person? Of course you do. Anybody would. Who would honestly say that they don't? But when you walk down the street, do you really see the inherent worth in every single person? That guy on the sidewalk that's asking for change, you're not really sure what his situation is, you're not sure if he actually needs it. Maybe he's lying, maybe he doesn't really need it. Is he still worthy? Because that's what we've said. So just think about that. Nasia and Ariel have something to share about the matter.
Everyone is deserving of love and respect, regardless of their actions or characteristics. But do we all really follow or live by this principle? Just in youth, I hear people talking about others behind their backs.
Sorry. It is human nature to find conflict with other humans. In our faith, we are expected to apply the same degree of respect to the people we agree with and the people we have disagreements with. There will be someone you know who doesn't really seem worth your time or respect. A lot of people make up their minds about people, other people, before they get to know them. They could think they are a terrible person because of something they do, wear, or think. But before you know someone, you will never really know the reasoning, like if something is going on in their lives that caused them to do, wear, or think these things. Usually people hate others' actions as opposed to the person, but some people put it all under one big umbrella and think they hate them when really they hate the actions.
Thank you very much. I would like to share one more chant with you that I learned last week. We could have the next slide, please. It's called We Are an Old Family. If you were bridging, you might have, bridging into the youth program on Sunday, you may have heard it. I figured, you know, it worked pretty well the first time. Let's try it again. Maybe some more people know the words. Yeah. Anybody else want to help me? Yeah, sure. So, let's see. So we will sing through this first page once, and then I'd like everybody to sing along, and we'll do the entire chant twice. So it goes,
we are an old family, we are a new family. We are the same family, stronger than before. I am a strong man. I am a loving man. I am a warrior. My soul will never die. We honor you, empower you to be who you are. We honor you, empower you to be who you are.
So that's how it goes. Can we do this one?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So if you could switch pages when we get to the end. Not right now, but could you go back? Just once we get to the end. Thank you. So,
we are an old family. We are a new family. We are the same family, stronger than before. We are.
So, thanks for joining us here at this 2012 youth service. I'd like to, if you don't mind, quickly go back over what we said. Okay. So, UUs. We have 7 principles. It's about the only thing holding us together. The rest is up to you. That can be hard, but, you know, we make it work. And, I mean, who doesn't like choices? Speaking of choices, that's the other thing we talked about. Lots of choices, and you kind of need your practice with those to get good at them. Those choices and those principles. I didn't hear this mentioned, but I feel like those 7 principles are tailor-made for that thing he mentioned called continuous revelation. You know, the free and search and, you know, inherent worth and dignity. It all creates this perfect environment for you to find who you are over and over and over. So I'd like to ask you, only slightly rhetorically, I mean, I can't have everyone shouting, but if you want to talk to me afterward, please, please do. What makes you reboot your theology? Have you had an experience, or is there like a practice you do? Do you go to a TED Talk? Do you look at those and try to find truth there? Do you talk to people? Do you that kind of thing? What? Yes, I think that applies to all of us. At least I hope you find new things here. I mean, that is the point, isn't it? So I wanna challenge you to find a new truth or a new meaning in your life here at SI. Or to examine an old truth that you've carried with you for longer than you can remember, and that you've kind of stuck to and haven't really thought about. I want you to go back to your dorm or go to the dance next and think about that one and maybe discuss it. You know, that seems to be a pretty you thing, discussion, you know, coffee hour and stuff. Yes, of course. I mean, it's like the oil of conversation. So try to find a new truth, examine an old one, maybe get rid of it, maybe modify it, maybe keep it the way it is. And how do you do that? Now, some religions believe that you should be told what to do. We don't like that. We like to be different. We believe in this thing called orthopraxy. And that's a big word, but don't let it shock you. Ortho means truth, and proxy means kind of like doing. And so that means finding the truth through doing things, as opposed to being told what's true. So I want you to be real, true UUs and go out and do stuff and find truth through that. So I think that's all we have prepared for you tonight. I do want to give a shout out to the scholarship fund. That was really moving, and I really hope you guys took that to heart. I know I'll be donating to the scholarship fund now, so you should too. Yeah. I know that was peer pressure, but I think it was okay. So thank you all for coming. It was a great turnout, I think. This is pretty good, right? I liked it. That's it. You know, stop listening to me. I'm rambling. Go out and do stuff. Find truth in everything.
One last quick reminder, I would like to encourage all of you to stop by the bookstore, buy a bracelet that one of the fine youth made, and the money will be donated to microloan programs so we can help those in need.
Go now in peace.